Two widows whose husbands were murdered by loyalist paramilitaries in 1976 have been awarded six-figure settlements in cases brought against the UK Ministry for Defence and the Police Service of Northern Ireland. The families of Jim Lockery and John Toland began civil proceedings after investigations by the Historical Inquiries team found there may have been collusion with the security forces in the deaths of both men. Jim Lockery's son John lives in Castle Gregory. Jim was 36 when he was shot by the UDA in his home in Greysteel, County Derry, in front of his wife and eight young children in November 1976, and he died of his injuries 11 days later. And John is with me in our Tralee studio. John, good morning to you, and thanks very much for talking to us in the programme. What happened yesterday?
Good morning, Gerry. Yesterday was the final hearing of a very long process for us as a family. It's 47 years since our father was murdered, and we had a historical inquiries investigation which began in the early 2000s and lasted almost 10 years, and then we had a civil action against the Ministry of Defence of the British government and the PSNI, which of course then was the RUC, for their involvement in those murders. And yesterday all of that was brought to a conclusion when they agreed a settlement with us in relation to the murders of our fathers.
So can I ask you, what does that, I suppose, just even that situation of settled with no admission of liability, after the saga you've been through, and it's been a long saga, so how do you feel after that? How's your family feeling after that?
Well, there's a certain feeling of satisfaction that it's come to a conclusion that, and that we have been successful, and it is a positive outcome. What I've found is during this process, you never get the truth. You don't get what you would consider to be justice. You know, we have a peace process in the north and in the six counties, and for me, an important part of that peace process would be truth and reconciliation. But they do fight you every inch of the way so as not to reveal the truth. And they say they don't admit liability, but at the same time they make an award of reparation for the hurt and the trauma that was caused. And the judge made an order that they must pay all the costs of the families in the court proceedings. So it's not the outcome we would have hoped for, but then our mothers are older women now, you know, they're in their 80s. Their health is not what it used to be. And one of the things my mother always said, that she wanted to see this finished while she was still walking around on this earth. And so we as families made a very difficult decision to accept their offer of a settlement so that our mothers would have, at the very least, the satisfaction of seeing the case completed while they were still alive.
Yeah, hugely important, I can imagine. How many years have you been at this with the family?
I guess the whole 47 years, really, because on the night of my father's murder, the whole village knew there was something wrong, because we had returned from Mass. It was Sunday evening. We'd returned from Mass about 10 minutes before the shooting occurred, and we had passed through a British Army checkpoint at the edge of the village in order to go home. And then practically before anyone had rung an ambulance, the British Army were on site. So there was always something not right about it, and we were always asking questions. But it wasn't until we got support from the Pat Finucane Centre. I think the whole country is familiar with Pat Finucane, and he was a lawyer who was murdered in a similar fashion, you know, where collusion was at the heart of it. And they're a civil and human rights organisation who support families like ourselves, and they started to pursue our case on our behalf. And then, to be fair, there was a historical inquiries team which was former British or English police officers from places like the London Met who came in and spent about 8 years investigating and found all kinds of information that had been hidden or had been, you know, kind of redacted and so forth, and led to links between four murders, not just my father's, but Mr. John Toland, Michael McHugh, and Mr. Mulhern, and you know, that the same weapons were used, the same people were involved, and they were all ordered by the UDA commander in Derry at the time, who has some very dubious links to the British military services and perhaps even British intelligence services. But we never got to the bottom of that, and probably the sad thing is, for us and for many families, this new legacy bill that the British have introduced means that other investigations that were afoot in relation to those murders, like a police ombudsman investigation, will now be cancelled.
Yeah, this is the Legacy Act, very highly controversial. It could be subject of legal action between the UK and the Republic of Ireland, which would block such cases from May 1st. So that's going to deprive families of the chance to do what ye have done. John, with that in mind, and can I just ask you on that situation, now, judgment's expected this week on a judicial review challenge taken against the Act in the High Court in Belfast, so that's where it goes to next. But in not taking the line of the British government, but what would you say to those who say, look, this was a war that was going on. It was there's no war that's clean. Every war is dirty. The first casualty is always the truth. Trying to unpick it in the context of a peace process, what do you say to those on the British side who say, look, it's time to draw a line under all of this and move on? As cold and callous as that may seem to victims' families.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point, Gerry, and a point that has been discussed a lot. I think if you're seeking a true peace process, you know, and we have examples from other parts of the world, such as South Africa, you know, the reconciliation involves an element of truth, an element of acceptance that, you know, my dad was a civil rights activist and a union man, shop steward, and he was murdered for his activism. And we never sought prosecutions or convictions. That was not part of what we sought. We simply sought the truth. And I think that's an important part of moving on, an important part of the process. As I say, you know, we're not looking to see anyone in a courtroom. We're not looking to see anyone put in prison for this. We simply want all the details that we know exist revealed in relation to it, and that's an important part of the peace process as well.
Yeah. John, how old were you when your father was murdered?
I was nine years old, Gerry, yeah.
Is it possible to quantify the effect that had on you and your family?
If you give me another 2 hours, perhaps. No, really, no. There are different levels to the loss of a loved one in that way. There is the loss that everyone feels when they lose a member of their family, especially a father of a young family. You know, people do lose their fathers when they're young, and that's a loss that they live with for the rest of their lives. And there's things like, you know, I played football when I was younger and into my adulthood, and so did my brothers. And my dad never got to see me win the under-14 championship in County Derry, as an example. And then I have five sisters, and those five sisters, you know, never got their dad to walk them up the aisle or make the father of the bride speech at their weddings. So there's loss that everyone feels. But then also, we were there. We witnessed this act, and the trauma of that is a lifelong thing that you carry and you try and find ways to live with. And the reality is that, you know, it affected everything in life. It affected education, it affected social interactions, it affected every aspect of life. And you know, I'm not ashamed to say I still receive counselling today, and it still helps me deal with the trauma that that act on that night left on me. And, you know, we all have to find our own ways to achieve that. And it's the same for all of my brothers and sisters. There's devastating effects of a trauma of that nature.
Did you have post-traumatic?
Yeah, diagnosed much later. There were no services at that time, Gerry. There was nothing.
No.
It was only when I was in my late 20s that I started to receive proper treatment. I mean, you think about it, like, you know, there are terrible acts happening in the world. And sometimes when we're on the social media or something, a video will pop up of a terrible thing happening. And most of us will look away. We can't look at that because it's too difficult. And that's not even our family, not even our father.
Yeah.
So you can imagine having no choice about that and being forced to watch that happen and then try to survive the emotional and physical impacts of that subsequently.
And is that in part, at least in part, why it's so important, you think, for your family and other families to have days like yesterday and to get some element, if not all the truth, as you said, but some element of the truth?
It is. It is. Yesterday was an interesting day because there was a lot of sadness. There were tears. But there was a feeling of relief and a feeling of success. And we were there with one of the other families, the Toland family. John Toland was also killed only a few days after my dad had been shot. And, we went on that journey together. And there is a certain kind of, joy maybe even in that small victory and being able to celebrate that together and say, we achieved something here in memory of our fathers who were taken from us in this way.
Yeah, your mother clearly is an incredible person.
Oh, phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, I have no words for how amazing my mother is. You know, to be 34 years of age, to be left with 8 young children and have to try and survive that and have, the reality of that, those times, Jerry, where the father was the breadwinner. You know, those were the times we lived in. So she was left financially destitute by what happened and got no compensation, even though it was commonplace for others to get compensation at that time who were killed as part of the conflict, most notably the security forces, but she got nothing. And she went to work in shirt factories in order to try and survive and to raise us. So she's just, her whole life has been about surviving that night and surviving the loss of her husband. And I go and visit her regularly. And it's a long way from Kerry to Derry, but I make the trip every month. She still will sit and chat in the evening about what her life was like with him and how she misses him, even now in the evenings, now that she's older and she's retired and on her own. And, so it's also had a huge impact for her, but she is a phenomenal woman.
Yeah, you were very young, you were only 9, but what memories do you have? What kind of a man was your father?
Very family oriented, very education oriented. He had us reading, and I was 7 years old and I could play chess. He taught me how to play chess, and I still play chess today as a result. He would sit with us and spend time on our homework, but then he was also involved in civil rights marches and so forth, and was aware of the inequalities that existed in our society at the time and was organizing locally around those issues. He liked his soccer, he liked his football. He used to go and watch Finn Harps. He used to go and watch our local team, Fáil Vale, play, that we ultimately, or his boys ended up playing for and with. He was a very normal man in a lot of respects, but there were some things he held important in life, and I think social justice and civil rights were core to that. And I'm very pleased to say that seems to be one of the things I've inherited from him. Part of his legacy to me is that those things were also important to me.
Sure. John, listen, we're out of time, but thanks so much for talking to me on what is, as you said, there's an element of happiness, but a difficult day as well. And thanks for being so honest about it. And well done to you and your family for that fight for justice for all these years.
Thank you very much, Jerry. I really appreciate it.